Hello and welcome to our podcast, Moon and Saggy.
I'm Bedir, aka Moon.
I'm Ryan, aka Saggy.
And this is a conversation about justice for Britney outside of the courtroom and breakup Ticketmaster.
Okay, so on Wednesday, December 7th, there was some updates in Britney's court case. I guess updates. We at least have a few, I don't even know. You know what? Why don't you go ahead, Bedir?
So we have a Britney Spears court update. A reporter from Rolling Stone attended the latest court hearing, I assume virtually. And the reporter said that Judge Brenda Penny puts everything over to May 10th. And there are two quotes by the judge. In the first quote, the judge says, "All these matters are going to end up getting tried, as in fee petitions, disputed accounting, and claims of misconduct." The second quote says, "Hopefully by that time," meaning May 10th, "all discovery will be complete and I can send to trial." To me, that sounds like shade to Rosengart, right?
A little bit. Because I know there has been a critique of Rosengart keeps doing all of this discovery, but yet no real like solid petition of action. It's just continuous discovery. I interpreted that a little bit as shade towards how he's frankly delaying the process just as much as everyone else is, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I'm seeing a lot of people pointing out the corruption of Judge Penny and how she's delaying and stalling on purpose. And I personally don't feel like it's productive for me to keep mentioning that, because I feel like it's a given with judges, specifically right. A probate judge who's, you know, complicit in Britney's conservatorship. But I also think Rosengart does give her a leeway to keep delaying because of him being late with his filings, frankly. And
That's been a big critique on that we've had towards, we meaning like the fandom, we've had towards James Spears and his attorneys, is that they have really chronically filed things very, very late. And so it's a bit odd that like Rosengart is doing that same behavior. I know that there is some type of strategy of kind of delaying. You don't want to show like, you know, quote unquote, all your cards right away to people, so that it's not
right.
Exactly like an unheard of strategy. But it seems that it's kind of becoming like slightly problematic as far as being disruptive for the case. It's something that Judge Brenda Penny had to bring up a few times in this case, and how both sides are filing things too late. And it's not giving her enough time to assess everything. I completely agree. Like, it's obvious. That's in no defense of Brenda Penny. We know she's complicit. I also feel it's kind of redundant at this point. Like, we know she was a part of this. Now the focus is, what is Britney's attorney doing to undo some of this and to help, quote unquote, get justice for Britney?
Right. It doesn't seem like Rosengart is being helpful with moving this case forward. It's been, what, a year now? Over a year, yeah. He should have all the depositions completed. And I know last time we did an episode about this, we talked about how we wondered whether the surveillance that happened to Britney would even be considered illegal, considering that she was in a conservatorship. But Rosengart seems to think it was illegal, and other lawyers who are involved in justice for Britney have said that. So it's a little puzzling why he's not pursuing the unlawful surveillance claims.
It is strange. Like, why is he not pursuing that? What's also strange is that while as much as he talks about the the surveillance of Britney. He even in his some of his interviews with the press, he himself has said that, you know, James Spears has paid himself this amount of money, da 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 da, and we haven't said if that's illegal. So part of the whole idea of is this even illegal is partially coming from him, you know? And I think my whole thing is, I think it's obvious that this is illegal. And I think if you're a good attorney, you can make sure that it's proven in a court of law that it's illegal. But I think Rosengart's in over his head because he's not qualified in disability rights. I mean, like, by not qualified, I mean, mm-hmm. he just have an experience. He doesn't have the right. experience in it. So I don't think he really had what it took to really demonstrate how illegal this was, because in a probate court, it's really easy for surveillance to be condoned when somebody's in a conservatorship, because it's like, oh, well, we had to, you know, assess her phone, like take over her phones and stuff. We get hackers. We have to survey that. We have to have cameras and stuff and on the doors in her bedroom and stuff in case someone comes in. Like, it's very easy to explain away. It gets explained away for tons of people in conservatorships who aren't famous. So that's the whole thing. But I do think that this could be proven to be illegal. Rosengart's giving kind of mixed messages on being illegal. But yeah, with all of his discovery, it seems that he has this focus of it being so wrong and so illegal to the point that he feels that Britney shouldn't have to pay her father's attorney fees, which I think is another kind of point of confusion in this case. This isn't about whether or not James Spears did these things to Britney and like how illegal they are. It's whether or not Britney has to pay his fees. And all of this discovery is just based on, is just like, well, Britney shouldn't have to pay because her father did this. Am I getting that wrong? But like there hasn't been a petition of actually going after anyone for the actions they did.
Specifically in that context of surveillance. Yeah, it doesn't seem so. You're right. I think from what I know is that he's been using it just to, you know, discredit the fact that Jamie expects to have Britney pay for his legal fees.
Legal fees and 12th accounting. That seems to be like the only thing that's on the bill, really, so to speak. It's not about whether or not like James is like an abuser. I think some people think that's where we're at in this case, but unfortunately we're not. And frankly, no. The only person who can take it to that level is Britney's attorney, and he hasn't. So yeah, I don't know why he hasn't. I don't know why. We've had some of our own theories of just feeling that he's so tied up with like with his past job of working as a prosecutor. You know, I also wonder if the current law firm that he's with, GT Law, they're so heavily tied in with the entertainment industry. Like, they make a lot of money off of representing just various paths of the business. They represent artists, they represent managers, they represent sports team owners, venues. Like, they're really tied in so much. They have huge ties to Ticketmaster and Live Nation. I don't even know if they would even allow Rosengart to really disrupt things so much in this case, because it's not just about James Spears, right? Like, it's been pointed at with Lou Taylor and TriStar and all of that. And going after some of the accounting of that starts poking a little too many holes with how money and things work in the industry. I don't know if that's... I hope we are wrong. I think I want to be clear about, and you want to be clear about that too, that these feelings that we have as to why things aren't going forward based off of Rosengart's history and like currently who he works for and just all the ties of it, of how it just doesn't even make sense to disrupt those relationships. I hope we're wrong. It just seems that we have, as time progresses, there's less and less evidence to suggest that anything's going to happen.
Yeah, I definitely feel that way. A lot of people on Twitter tell me that I'm wrong constantly. And it's like, guess what? I don't want to be right about this. I yeah. absolutely wish and hope that we're both very wrong about Rosengart. And I also want to clarify something else. I feel like our first episode opened room for a lot of BNN people to sort of view our content as something that's part of whatever agenda they're following. And that's really not the case. Ryan and I firmly believe that Britney's conservatorship has been terminated. There's been talks about her utilizing a supported decision-making, setup. And that's something that's completely up to her. And it has nothing to do with conservatorship. And it's quite ableist to think otherwise. And I'm not going to get into why. We've talked about this a lot in various platforms, so people can do their own research on that. Yeah, another thing I stumbled upon on Twitter, the account Free Brit Please tweeted that Rosengart said in court there needs to be a deposition for Britney's former representation, which I guess means Sam Ingham. Now, we know the statute of limitation has passed for Sam Ingham, at least in California. So I'm not sure how Rosengart would tackle this. And it almost feels like he's kind of just saying that because lately there's been more critique of him not pursuing any charges against Sam Ingham. So I wonder or question if he's just saying that to sort of get some heat off of him, unless there's a strategy I'm not aware of.
Yeah, it seemed kind of random that this whole time he hasn't said anything about Ingham, and now he just brought up Ingham when, from what I understand, the statute of limitations for going after Ingham in any way expired a year after Ingham quit being Britney's attorney. So on the anniversary of Rosengart being Britney's attorney for 1 year, that's also the statute of limitations for Samuel Ingham. Some people are saying that, oh, the statute of limitations has just expired in California. It can be federal. Okay. We'll look forward to Rosengart filing something out of court, out of this court, filing something asking to be removed out of this court, because he hasn't. And that's something that John Eardley, who in my opinion is basically the lawyer who really tried to help Britney, if not the only lawyer who really tried to prevent her from being in this conservatorship.
An unsung hero, honestly.
Totally. Yeah. He's been gone after by the California courts so hard, the California bar system. It's just unbelievable what they've done to this man's career. But he filed to have Britney's case and conservatorship taken out of the California probate courts and into the U.S. district courts. He did that within weeks of the filing of Britney's conservatorship. Like, literally, he did these filings in February 2008.
He knew there would be no fairness in California probate
court. Exactly. He knew there would be no fairness at all, so he had to get out of these courts, and he wasted no time. And so when people say, like, oh, well, no, Rosengart has to do this or that or wait or this, that, I don't know why he's messing with these courts. I don't know why. And even when he chooses to mess with these courts, he's not using the things he could use. You know, it is available for him to have gone after Ingham right away in the probate courts. I don't think it would do any good, you know, because Ingham's completely covered by everyone. But it is, in theory, something that is allowed legally. And Rosengart didn't do it. So it's just, I don't understand the strategy. The more time that goes on, the more I'm like, is this a strategy or is this just like a house of cards?
Yeah, that's true. And I feel like we as a movement have learned a lot from Eardley's letter to Britney.
Yeah,
it was a really powerful letter, really well written, in which he basically dissects how Britney's civil rights and human rights are being violated. So I feel like from the jump, just, you know, getting into that letter, I knew to trust in what he was saying about how probate courts, there's no justice with probate courts. So that was sort of like the mindset or the mentality I was carrying with me throughout my time in the movement and, right. and my advocacy or whatever. So when Rosengart came into the picture and was handling this within the probate court, I just found that really strange. Like, if I can learn from someone like Eardley, I feel like Rosengart should have maybe done more research before doing that. Because he is a federal prosecutor, so I can maybe understand that he isn't aware of the corruption of probate court, which, you know, that's not a good thing for, you know, your own lawyer to not know the extent of the corruption until way later down the line.
Right. But even if he didn't know the corruption, he is aware that he isn't experienced in this type of courtroom. And so I find it very odd that as part of his team, you know, it's not just him, there's more lawyers that are hired on in this case. I don't understand why there was never a probate attorney hired. There was never like someone who has experience working with conservatorships hired. I think that's a huge mistake, and it puts Brittany and the whole team at a huge disadvantage, because meanwhile, James' side, they have a probate attorney. They have an attorney who's worked with conservatorships before. So it's just things like this. These are huge mistakes. That Rosengart frankly shouldn't be making. And this isn't about like whether or not you think he's team con. I don't even really feel that way about Rosengart, frankly.
Me neither.
If I'm going to be perfectly blunt, I just think he's a Hollywood big shot attorney who, even if he doesn't get justice for Brittany, it doesn't matter, because he will always on his resume be able to say that he quote unquote freed Brittany because the conservatorship was terminated. So it's a win for him. It's a win for his law firm, no matter what. Even if no mm-hmm. one gets sued, if no one goes to jail, it doesn't matter. The law firm still wins. It's only Brittany who really loses.
Freed Brittany from the shackles of her father. Awards, awards, awards. That's it. For him, that's where it ends. You know, John Eardley didn't have as many advantages as Rosengart in terms of access to information.
No, nor public support.
Right. He didn't know about Dr. Spar's report.
Right.
He didn't know about how Riva Getz just adored Sam Ingham.
He didn't have entire exposés done on a very public level that Rosengart keeps referencing.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So all these, you know, bits of information that came later, John Eardley didn't have that, and yet he was able to see right through probate courts, and just he knew there was nothing good that was going to come out of it for Brittany.
It just seems that based on Rosengart's actions and definitely lack of actions, that nothing's really going to be done. And again, I don't even think it's even up to him. I don't know if his law firm would really allow him to fully pursue these charges to the full extent. There's just no reason for them to. They already win by having Brittany be quote unquote free. And why disrupt any of their other relationships? There's just no point. They're too tied with these huge businesses. You know, Ticketmaster and Live Nation being a huge one. Did you know that Rosengart's law firm actually lobbied for Ticketmaster and Live Nation? For years. And during the merger, they lobbied for them. They lobbied for them from 2009 to 2015. So these relationships are old. They go way beyond Brittany. And, you know, it's not worth disrupting all these relationships for one person, frankly. That's the sad reality. And I think sometimes a lot of this reality of just kind of frankly how like capitalism and the industry works and contracts, a lot of times people see this as evidence of people being not free, you know, and in a way, all the artists are kind of trapped, especially in the music industry. Like they're completely trapped. And a huge reason for that is Ticketmaster and Live Nation. And, you know, they were beyond complicit in Britney's conservatorship. You know, if people want to know more about that, they should definitely check out Melanie Carlson's research. It's MX_defying. those are her Twitter and like Insta handles.
Yep.
You can go way into more depth for a lot of the information on how Ticketmaster and Live Nation were complicit in Britney's conservatorship, and how the Vegas residency was definitely a huge thing with all of them. But, you know, just kind of on a more surface level, these having such a huge monopoly like this in the industry, on some level, it makes all of the big artists not have autonomy and not have control over their careers, their ticket sales. And a lot of times, like, their creativity ends up being stifled in the process of it as well.
Yeah, and they end up having no choice but to work with Ticketmaster / Live Nation. Because they own the biggest stadiums, in the U.S. at least.
Yeah, like with the Taylor Swift situation. So many people have heard about that. And, you know, the whole thing with that is that Taylor Swift is such a huge artist that she has no choice but to have her tours be in stadiums. And then what happens is that Live Nation owns those stadiums. And so they say, okay, you want to have your concert here. Well, then you have to sell your tickets with Ticketmaster. And so often, like, artists literally have no choice. They have to work with Ticketmaster, especially, like, the bigger you are, the more you have to. And, like, Ticketmaster dominates what? It's, like, 70% of, like, ticket sales?
How is that legal?
That's the question, right? And that's what hopefully the Department of Justice will disrupt. I'm not going to comment on how much faith I have in that, but there is currently an investigation. Like, the Department of Justice is investigating Ticketmaster specifically for violating antitrust laws. You know, that's just like them. You're a monopoly. You're operating like a monopoly. You can't do that. It seems like a lot of politicians are speaking out about it. I am so hesitant to trust politicians and lawyers, but I don't know if it's kind of a situation of, like, are they done with this facade? Are they, is maybe Ticketmaster not giving the cuts they need to give? But why are there so many more politicians being willing to talk about this now when you look at kind of the history of the merger, it was definitely condoned and facilitated by politicians. So how is this legal?
Yeah.
How is this legal? Yeah. I don't know. America, that's how. Like,
I mean, rich and powerful people love a monopoly, but only when they're in charge of it.
Right. So maybe Ticketmaster has gotten a little too away from that. I don't know, but they really are a monopoly. And unfortunately, as much as I don't really have faith in the politicians, it does seem that, like, this is something the Department of Justice has to interrupt. They right. really do have to interfere here, because live music and performances, like, it's going to continue to just be awful experiences, and, like, with the purchasing the tickets and just the whole general experience. I think everyone knows how concert performances are just, like, they're not what they used to be. And, like, tickets are certainly way more expensive. Like, they're so, so expensive. It's not going to get any better if Ticketmaster is not broken up. Like, that's just the reality. And so I think it's really important for people to support the hashtag Breakup Ticketmaster and to send letters to the Department of Justice encouraging for them to break up Ticketmaster, because, you know, I think a lot of people are assigning this to just Taylor Swift fans. Like, only the Swift fans care about this. But frankly, if you're a live music lover, you should care about this. And definitely, if you're a Britney Spears fan, you should care about this. And, you know, I feel that this is kind of another way of going after a lot of the people who were complicit in Britney's abuse and helped with the conservatorship. I don't think that we're really going to see justice in a legal sense through a courtroom. But I think that this is another way that we can kind of get our jabs in. In the very least, it would be great if some of these people could make not as much money, because that's frankly the only thing that really matters to them. And that's where you really hit them where it hurts. So yeah, that's basically me saying, please, please send a letter to the Department of Justice to break up Ticketmaster. You can go to the website, just like Breakup Ticketmaster. there's an entire website that explains more about the monopoly, why this is important. And, you know, it already has it like kind of automated. So you can send a letter directly to the Department of Justice.
Yeah, I've had terrible experiences with Ticketmaster. This isn't what's happening right now with Taylor isn't something that's like a consequence to the pandemic. They've always been notorious with their ticket sales.
Yeah.
The last time I had a terrible experience with them, I was booked to see the Pussycat Dolls reunion. And then obviously COVID hit. So that was put on hold indefinitely before it eventually got canceled. And during that time, they were just terrible with customer support. People had a lot of questions. People wanted, some people wanted refunds early on, and they weren't giving it. And eventually they only refunded people who basically demanded for it and made a strong case. I had ticket insurance because I would have traveled a long way. And for me, it's like I have to have this type of insurance in case I have to cancel my trip. And that made it slightly easier for me to end up getting a refund. But a lot of people to this day didn't get a refund. And Pussycat Dolls are over, you know?
Yeah, Ticketmaster is awful. I'll admit, because I don't, like, I almost don't want to like tell everyone because I know there's just so many feelings about it. But I did get Taylor tickets. I was able to. It took me 7 hours of waiting. And I, you know, I don't even want to get into the whole story. It was horrible. It was a terrible experience. But I did, I was able to get tickets, but I almost didn't get tickets. When I signed up for the pre-sale code, I almost didn't do it because I realized I was going to have to work with Ticketmaster, which I should have known. I mean, on some level I did. I guess I was just a little bit like hoping slash in denial that I wouldn't have to work with them. But of course, and so when I saw that I had to make a Ticketmaster account to even get the tickets, I was like, ugh, like that's not how, that shouldn't be your initial feeling going into buying tickets. Like, oh my gosh, how much abuse do I want to take? Cause like, that's literally how I framed it in my mind. Like, how much abuse is Taylor worth to see her? You know, like I've been a fan for so long. I've wanted to see her forever. I've never seen her live. Like I really wanted to go, but that's what it came down to. Like, how much abuse are you willing to take to see Taylor? And I think that to some extent, that's what everyone is having to do, regardless of what artists you're seeing. And that's terrible.
Yeah, that's true. And I like what you said earlier about basically finding alternative ways of seeking justice for Britney, because I too don't see this happening in the courts, at least not to the extent that Britney wants. So I think advocating against these entities who have been complicit in her conservatorship would be an indirect way of getting justice, frankly. You know, things like making sure Lou Taylor doesn't have a new client anymore,
or right.
Ticketmaster being broken up, which is the current campaign that's happening with the hashtag Breakup Ticketmaster. And apparently a bunch of Taylor fans decided to sue.
Yeah. And I think like, it's like almost 30, I think, or maybe, I don't know the current count. I know the numbers just keep adding, like more and more people are joining together and suing Ticketmaster. People who live in like different parts of the country.
Oh, that's iconic.
I know, I love it.
This is something I think Britney fans should definitely be involved in, because like I said earlier, that would be an indirect way of getting justice.
Definitely. I think we're going to have to be creative to have any sense of justice for Britney. I think we really can't rely on the courts for this. So many victims know that you can't rely on the courts for justice. I know Britney has some feelings about the word victim, so I don't mean any offense with that. It's just, I don't have any hang up with the term victim. I think it's neutral, frankly. I think we should kind of let go of kind of acting like there's something wrong with the term victim. You know, of course, if people aren't comfortable with it, that's for them. But in this sense, I'm just going to say the term because I think it's an accurate way to put it. The courts are not a good place for people who have been wronged. It's just not really where we're going to see a lot of justice. We should know this too, right? The courts are who helped wrong Brittany for this whole time. So if we want to get justice, we're definitely going to have to be creative. Yeah, let's go after Ticketmaster. Let's continue to make life disruptive for Lou Taylor and TriStar in ways that are legal, because I know sometimes fans get a little carried away. There's definitely ways that we can make TriStar have a very uncomfortable and difficult time continuing to exist in the industry. What else? What do you think? Like, let's just think of some ways. Like, I think this is where like the fandom and the collaborative process could be really useful, you know?
Larry Rudolph.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Larry is such a weasel and he has completely gone under the radar. Oh my God. I really feel like he's just kind of slipped away, like just slinked away and gotten away with it all. And speaking of like Ticketmaster and Live Nation, he like started a whole new company through them. So yeah, I like Larry, ew.
I'm so grossed out by Larry. I've mentioned, I have a little story in Vegas.
About Larry?
Yeah, I mentioned it before, so this isn't like the first time I talk about it.
Okay.
And it's nothing big, like it was just like a minor interaction, but I thought it was really interesting. Okay. I had a meet and greet with Brittany, and I was in line waiting, and when it was my turn, she was a bit frazzled because the fan who saw her before me was a bit overwhelmed, I guess, and you know, wasn't handling meeting her quite well. But I managed to break the ice with her, and we had like a short and sweet conversation. One of the things she asked me was where I'm visiting her from. And when I told her that I basically had to take 4 flights to see her, she was really like taken aback and flattered. And then in that very moment, Larry Rudolph, who has been standing there the whole time like a little creep, interrupted us, and he just started clapping at my direction and saying, "You need to move. You're taking too long." And it's like, mind you, it was like, I don't know, like a 2-minute conversation. It wasn't that long. And then Brittany kind of softly and gently held my shoulder, and she was like, you know, this person traveled for,
did
you,
know, you I love flights. The description of that. Like, did you?
Yeah, no, I had to be clear because it was like, it was such a tender touch, you know, like it was.
Was it tender, you know? But firm, Badir?
Yeah, yeah. Felt like the Nice and Naughty remix, you know, duality. Anyway, so she was basically like, this person traveled a long way, 4 flights to see me, something along those lines.
Right.
Give us more time. And that was like jarring to me because it's like, well, first of all, I was witnessing Larry Rudolph being an asshole and being really disrespectful. And you work for Britney. She's the boss. You don't get to act this way. Anyway, and it also felt like an act of resistance in a sense from her part. And I could tell in that moment that she, because of the situation with the conservatorship, had to sort of like choose her battles as right. to like when to retaliate and when not to. Mm-hmm. And I guess in that moment, she chose to do that because I don't think she liked that Larry's bullshit was happening to one of her supporters,
a
right?
A fan, yeah, for sure. Like, you know, you abuse me, you don't need to abuse my fans too.
Exactly. And that was sad, but also sweet.
Yeah, good for her. You know? But yeah, just heartbreaking. Yeah. Little traces of like, that's like, the spirit that kept going, like that, you mm-hmm. know, of knowing like yep. this isn't right.
She bought us more time, basically. And we had an additional, like, I don't know, 30 seconds. We talked. Right. hugged, took a picture, and I left. It was amazing.
Oh, love it. Mm. Yeah, I mean, how dare Larry try to interrupt that moment, you know?
I know.
Like, it's just ridiculous. Like, you know, Larry, it came out recently, different people who have worked with Britney, there's more stories coming out about Larry and how much he, like, controlled Britney even before the conservatorship. Like, did you see those recent things about how that one, I sound so silly, but, like, that one girl who worked with Britney, like, had to sneak her out of a hotel because Larry had, like, guards outside of the hotel room?
Yeah. Was it a dancer, a former dancer or something?
I can't remember. Or, like, a hairstylist or, like, something like that. I don't remember. I don't know. I feel bad.
An employee, basically.
An employee of some sort. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was working, like, with Britney and, like, just, like, it was so creepy how Larry was. And they specifically said Larry.
Yeah, they singled him out, which I think it should be more of a signal for us to sort of put more of an emphasis on him. I'm tired of talking about Lou Taylor. Like, we've been new. Lou Taylor is a thief. She's a horrible person. She's a monster. We get it. But, like, Larry, on the other hand, I feel like that subject isn't tackled as much as it should be.
No. Yeah, I'm tired of Lou Taylor, too. I feel that we've kind of exposed almost every angle that we can. I think mm-hmm. it's important to continue to put heat on, like, you know, Britney's case and, like, the Astroworld case, because TriStar's involved with that, too. But I am kind of like, Lou Taylor has so much heat on her. I would like to have a little bit more focus on Larry, because he's been there from the very beginning. And there has been exploitation of Britney even before this conservatorship. And Larry is the common denominator throughout all of this.
Yeah, I think Lou Taylor is definitely an exhausted topic. I think getting into Larry's involvement way before the conservatorship and sort of just having a look and creating some perspective as to, like, how all of this led to the conservatorship and how it almost felt like a golden opportunity for him. Like, this investment, so to speak, that he made when Britney was, I don't know, 15, 16, like, he, to him, she was an investment and a very good one. Suddenly he had more control over that investment and he could, you know, implement whatever business model he wanted. And also probably made a lot of money. So I think Larry Rudolph should be tackled more.
Definitely. Like you said, Lou Taylor's terrible. We know she's corrupt. She's a criminal. But I am kind of sick of, like, oh, let's analyze Lou Taylor's Botox and how, whether or not Britney paid for it. Like, we know she's evil. We know she's I just think it is exhausted. Whereas Larry, it seems still a little bit of elusive. And it seems like, yeah, like this employee singled out Larry. And who was it recently that Carly Rae who called out Larry? Just a few months ago. Do you remember that? She said when she was on the show, the competition show, that Larry approached her. And afterward, like, was like, I'm going to manage you, but you have to, like, have full control over you, basically. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember now. I forgot for a bit, but yeah, I remember.
Yeah, that came out a few months ago. So, like, Larry is kind of, like, this repeat name that keeps coming up from people in the industry. So, yeah, I think, like you said, we should kind of lean into that. That's who keeps being named.
Mm-hmm. Clearly, I mean, there's a pattern of him being a business predator.
Definitely. I think he's a predator in basically every sense of the word, mm-hmm. frankly. But yeah, it is odd that there's not more information on him. I feel like we have a lot of information on Larry, but there's still, like, I feel like the dirty secrets are still buried. And it is a little suspicious that a lot of content that has been about Larry within the fandom has been removed. So I just think that these are all kind of smoke signals in a way of, like, let's go after Larry.
Yeah, I mean, ever since, even before Free Britney started, like leading up to it, there's always been different forces that are meant to spread misinformation intentionally and control the narrative. And I think there were many instances throughout the movement where it was proven that sometimes when something isn't tackled enough, it might be by intention. For right. example, at the beginning, there was a hyper focus on Jamie Spears and removing Jamie Spears. And many people were amplifying that narrative. They just thought it was the right thing to do. But then eventually, I think...
just remove Jamie, not end the conservatorship right. in entirety.
Right, right, right. Yeah. And then eventually, like, people started to realize things and the messaging started to change. And honestly, like, some of the advocates in the movement really pushed with and were resilient with all these attempts to control the narrative. We ended up, you know, moving things towards the right direction. And, you know, we amplified Britney's voice, encouraged her, and, you know, she's free now. And I think what's happening right now with Larry Rudolph could be a similar case of, you know, controlling narratives. We have an abundance of research on Lou Taylor. I'm not sure if there's more we can find on her. There is enough to implicate her in so many different ways with Britney, with Astroworld, and probably other things. But with Larry, it's still like there are some unanswered questions. There's not enough analytical research on him. There's not enough research that sort of like makes connections and linkages and, you know, different involvements in the entertainment industry and, you know.
Yeah, I also don't notice kind of like a general like keeping track and updates on him. Whereas like, you know, you see people keeping updates on like every Lou Carpet. Oh my gosh. Every red carpet event that Lou does, or like every post there's updates on that. Or like I just saw recently like photos of James Spears spitting tobacco. I really didn't need to see that. What does this serve? I don't understand. Like, what, you know, like, I'm sick of it. And I feel that there are so many people that are really thriving off of the fact that there is so much focus on these people and not them. Larry being one of the biggest.
Absolutely. I feel like with Larry, sometimes we find out a recent update about him, but we find out a little too late, or not too late, a little while after it happened. Yeah. It's not as timely as, you know, Lou Taylor and Jamie. Like, as soon as Lou Taylor got these fillers, we found out. As soon as Jamie spat on the floor, ew, we found out.
But yet when Larry Rudolph has a new company with Live Nation, that wasn't like a huge thing in the fandom. Yeah, I mean, Larry is working very comfortably with Live Nation and not getting anywhere near the pushback from the fandom that like Lou got literally for filler.
Yeah, so I think this is why I think it's really productive to go after Ticketmaster/Live Nation. I think that's a really creative, like you said, way to seek justice for Britney.
Yeah, it honestly, like, going after Ticketmaster is a way to disrupt and make things difficult for Larry and Lou Taylor, you know, and frankly, everyone in the music industry who looked the other way.
The entertainment industry at large, for sure. It'll set a new precedent, a new standard, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really want people to take this Ticketmaster investigation seriously. I really hope that people support it. I see a lot of comments on it of just kind of eye rolling and acting like it's just a Swifty thing. This really impacts every single artist. So it's not just a Taylor Swift thing. Like, this fight against Ticketmaster has been going on since the 90s. So many people really have no choice with their career or anything because of Live Nation and Ticketmaster. So yeah, we got to take this seriously. We got to take this chance. Because I think with advocacy, a lot of times people think that like things can be disrupted or changed at any time. And while yes, that is true, technically, quite often you need these big moments to really get that swell and really like push forward. There has to be, you have to take these moments when like strike when the iron's hot. And so
exactly
what it took was a Taylor Swift concert. Okay. Whether you like her or not, or care about that, it doesn't really matter. If you have a problem with Ticketmaster, if they've like screwed you over in any way, if you feel Ticketmaster has like affected any artist you like, which like, frankly, they've affected every single artist for a while. Please, please like get involved with this, write a letter, push for this, write your politicians, your representatives, tell them that you think this is important. This is a monopoly. It's completely destroying music and like we're done.
Yeah. And we're going to have information on how to take action in regards to hashtag breakup Ticketmaster. You'll see it in the description or in the post associated to this episode. You know, sometimes I feel sad when I think of what the trajectory of Free Britney could have been. I would have loved to see people saying, oh, you know, well, it took someone like Britney Spears, a white famous rich woman, to abolish conservatorships. You know, like I was hoping that that would be, okay, you know, the iron is hot, let's strike. And this is what it led to. Unfortunately, that's not the case, because I feel like there were moments and opportunities, a once in a lifetime opportunities that could have been utilized to help people beyond Britney. And by help, I mean eliminate conservatorships and tackle ableism and so many different things. And right. Now with this situation with Taylor, I'm seeing things move a bit faster, and there is a clear end goal of like helping the situation at large, not just the individuals who didn't get tickets, for example. You know, like tackling this Ticketmaster Live Nation situation by these fans who are taking it to court could actually change the entertainment industry. It will change the entertainment industry forever, you know. And yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, with Britney's situation, you know, it's not every day that you have someone as famous as Britney involved in a topic like conservatorships, which is something that a lot of people are not familiar with. I think because of Britney, so many more people are educated on conservatorships and the potential abuse that can occur within them. And I mean, frankly, it's not potential abuse. Conservatorships are inherently abusive. I say that to like really blatantly nasty abuse is going on as well, as in addition to the abuse that is taking away someone's guardianship over themselves. Frankly, that doesn't even make sense as a concept. I mean, how can you even do that? Like, anyway, it's not every day that someone like Britney is involved in this, and there's such an opportunity to learn and to have change. And so while I'm really happy that Britney got out of her conservatorship, sometimes I am a little bit sad that it seems like it kind of ended there. Because while some people may find like hope in some of these reform bills, reform isn't going to change anything. There's been reform so many times, and yet Britney stayed in this conservatorship. It wasn't through any reform that got her out of it. It was literally through public outcry, you know, and in these reform bills, I didn't see any kind of legislation to help make it easier for people who have gotten out of conservatorships to go after the people who have abused them legally. So I think it's just a complete waste of time. Yeah, I just feel like if you're going to waste your time on reform, which is something that disability justice advocates have been very clear as something that is not useful, if you're going to bother with that, in the very least, maybe try it e make it easier for people who have been abused to get justice through the legal system. Otherwise, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Nothing that was passed, low key and in a weird kind of roundabout way in Britney's name, frankly, made it any easier for Britney to go after any of the people who abused her. I don't see Rosengart like mentioning any of this of how it's made it helpful. Like, it's just, this is just another example of how it was wasted time. And yeah, it does make me sad to know that there could have been more, especially if we had listened to people who had been in this advocacy space for so long. But what's done is done. It's happened. And I think a good way to redirect is to focus on taking down some of these big powers that be, with Ticketmaster being the huge one, definitely the current thing. I think we should really ride into this energy. We should keep going with the momentum that is building against Ticketmaster. We should keep pushing for it. Because if politicians see that people actually care about this, they will push for it and actually maybe do something. So there's my hopefulness of all of this, my little shred of hope.
The Ticketmaster monopoly has to be on the DOJ's agenda. Ticketmaster bullies venues into not working with their competitors. They bully smaller artists by denying them management. They bully big artists by controlling their ticket prices and letting their fans down. And they bully customers into paying exorbitant prices for tickets, not only by enabling resellers, but by collecting massive fees on every ticket those resellers sell. All of this amounts to an environment where competition has been totally removed from the live music ecosystem, making it worse for everyone except Ticketmaster and Live Nation executives who are making millions of dollars a year. We have to act now